This is Women's Rights, a podcast about women's ordination, written and produced by students at Smith College. Hi, I'm Julia.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Tessa. We're your hosts for this episode of Women's Rights.
This season, we are exploring the story of women's ordination in the Community of Christ, a church with 250,000 members and formerly named the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This denomination began ordaining women in 1985, and on the 35th anniversary of these first ordinations, we're taking this season to look back on the journey towards women's ordination in the Community of Christ. To do so, we've interviewed women ordained in the first decade after the 1985 policy change, women who went on to be leaders in the Community of Christ.
Each episode in this series investigates a different topic, and today we're going to look at denominational ministry. We will feature women reflecting on their ministry outside of the local, conferences, retreats, international leadership gatherings, and leadership of denominational bodies, and hear their memorable stories.
We first asked our interviewees about the roles in which they have served the Community of Christ at the denominational level. Charmaine Shalva Smith talked a bit about her role as an evangelist.
And then I think it was 2010, I was ordained as an evangelist, which is a minister who brings blessing. And that comes in personal blessing. We have what's called an evangelist blessing, which is... It has several parts to it, but the idea is that we offer prayer for a person and the different elements in their life, perhaps bringing some insight to them. The way I do it is I usually meet with a person once a month for at least a year, and we talk about their spiritual life. So I'm kind of acting as a spiritual director to them in that time, and we discuss their spiritual journey. And then at the end of that time, or sometimes it goes much longer than a year, then I record a prayer, and I lay my hands on their head and offer a prayer of blessing, that's recorded and then transcribed for them.
Jane Gardner provided some insight on what holding the role of high priest signifies in the Community of Christ.
I was ordained a high priest, and the difference... is that in the office of high priest, you're more looking at the world church, the global church, and starting to understand how we make a global community and helping people understand that there's more to life than just inside their small congregation, that there's things outside of it.
Jane spoke more about her experience serving in the denomination on a global level.
Since 2007, I've been on World Church Leadership Council. So that's about 25 people who are the decision makers, the policy holders, the policy creators for the whole World Church. And so that's been a role I've had now since 2007. And I'm one of several women. So we've tried, as leaders, we've tried really hard to diversify. So there are women on the council. There are also people from Africa, people from Honduras, people from Wales. What am I forgetting? Honduras, Africa. Oh, from French Polynesia. There's the woman from French Polynesia. So it's getting more and more diverse. And it's an exciting time to be not just a woman, but to be helping in the leadership of the denomination.
We went on to ask interviewees to share a memorable experience they had at a denominational conference, retreat, or other event. Charmaine spoke about the support system she found among other ordained women at conferences.
That was one of those things that, especially from about 85 to 95, was really important, is that ordained women would seek each other out at these kinds of things, at conferences, at mission center conferences, or family camps, and so there was this kind of sense of we can support each other, and among the women who were being ordained, there were some who were very traditional as in, you know, their role, they're thinking of the role as primarily in home and family. And so for some of them, this was a big stretch for them, and there was a real hesitance, but they felt that it was an honest call, and they had embraced it. And so there was lots of holding each other up.
Linda Booth recounted a time when she organized a groundbreaking event of bonding with Restoration Branch congregations in Kansas City who do not support women's ordination.
Congregations in the greater Kansas City area that remained in Community of Christ but did not allow for women to be ordained in their congregations. And those pastors were attending too. And so we sat there and talked. We prayed together. We talked. It was a great conversation. And the restoration elder looked at me. He said, "Linda, you know, I like you." And I said, "Well, I like you too." I said, "Would you like to continue to meet?" And he said, "Yes, I think that would be good." So I started a group called the Restoration Reconciliation Committee. And once a month we met, and these were restoration men, elders, and we got up to be about 30 to 35 that met. And I heard the pain of these men who had been, in some cases, silenced in the church because of their hateful attitude toward women in the priesthood. And we began to become friends. We prayed together, and we decided to have a worship service because the Restorationists and Community of Christ couldn't worship together any longer because they didn't believe in women in ordination, and the schism was so wide that even family members never worshiped together after that. So we thought, let's have a Restoration Hymn Festival, and we'll focus on Jesus Christ. That's what we have in common. And so there were only a couple places they would agree to have this service. And so we agreed to do it in the auditorium, which is Independence, which holds 6,600 people. And on the night that we gathered for the Restoration Hymn Festival, where men and women both participated in leading prayers and scripture, when I walked in, I was shocked. And that evening they counted, and there were almost 4,000 people there. They had driven as far away as Michigan and all over the United States to come and worship together because they had not had that experience. So I find it really astounding that a female apostle would have the experience of working with restoration elders to bring together people so that they could worship together for the first time after a very long time.
In 2007, Becky Savage was the first woman ordained in Community of Christ's first presidency, the highest leadership group in the church. She told us another emotional story about the moment she was recognized in that office, along with other women being ordained to be denominational leaders at the Community of Christ's World Conference.
So they read this into the record, and he reads this out to the first presidency, or to the whole world conference, this is in that chamber that seats 6,000 people, but this is all the delegates that gather from around the world church. And this was in March of 2007. "We celebrate with all the sisters of the church another step in the long journey towards equal regard and opportunity in the church and in society. While this is not the final step, it is a significant step. From this point forward, there should be no question or hesitancy regarding the appropriateness or capacity of women to serve in any leadership or ministerial role in the church at any level of church organization. We would look forward to serving you to the best of our ability as we fulfill the duties and functions of the first presidency. But first, let us pause now and express appreciation and respect for all the women who looked forward to the day and worked for this day and sacrificed for this day before it ever seemed possible that a day such as this could happen."
Finally, our interviewees share some experiences of backlash and exclusion they face at conferences and retreats due to their gender. Becky reflected on a particularly hurtful experience as a new member of the first presidency, not long after ordination, a contrast to the joyful moment you just heard.
Members of the First Presidency, of which there are three, president and two counselors, I'm one of the counselors to the president of the church, but were considered the presidency. So when there are assignments out, we try to share those assignments. And one of the kinds of assignments that we take are when there's big celebrations of church. There was a congregation, I won't say where, that was celebrating a big significant, like 130th year of that congregation. And they generally would have a member of the First Presidency come for that celebration. President Beese had been scheduled for that. He had a conflict. President Shaw, who was the second member of the presidency, was not available. And so they offered that I could come, and I was free to come. And usually before those kinds of assignments, you get a call from, if not the pastor, the mission center president, to say, this is what we'd like you to do for that day, and we're happy to have you come. Well, it's getting like a week, 10 days before that event, and I've not heard anything. And so I called the mission center president and said, I haven't heard anything. What's going on? And all I got was, And I said, okay, is there an issue because I'm a female? And I got, oh, yes.
Becky also wasn't afraid to stand up for equal treatment of ordained women. She disclosed one particularly amusing moment of confrontation after receiving a demeaning remark.
So the first part of that conference, we have a receiving line as a First Presidency where people can come greet us. One gentleman came through that line and his comment was, I'm so glad we have, for the first time, a wife in the First Presidency. And to which I said, oh, no, we don't.
Charmaine leaves us with an intriguing thought about why some people, particularly men, have struggled to accept women's ordination in the community of Christ.
Times of not being accepted tended to be more awkward than they were hurtful. And, you know, that was, you know, I really think having been in the Michigan region as people were struggling with starting to accept ordination of women was really helpful, because I could mostly see that these were not mean people. You know, they were not people who wanted to harm, but they were just struggling so hard with their own preconceptions of who God was, and you know, maybe the maleness of God, and maybe for some unrecognized assumptions that men were better than women or more religious or more spiritual. And you know, they couldn't probably put words to that yet, but it was making some men especially feel like they weren't as special as they thought they were.
While there are differences in the denominational roles and experiences ordained women have, as we have highlighted in this episode, what remains similar are common experiences between these women is resilience in the face of gender discrimination and finding support among others. In our next episode of Women's Rights, we'll look at the topic of interfaith ministry and feature women reflecting on their interactions across denominational lines.
That concludes our podcast for today. Special thanks to Charmaine Shavala-Smith, Jane Gardner, Linda Booth, and Becky Savage.
Also, thanks to Dan Bennett, Travis Grandy, and Yasmin Eisenhower of the Smith Learning Research and Technology Team. Thanks to Rachel Killebrew of Community of Christ Library Archives.
And thanks to the Andrew Mellon Foundation that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College. Tune in next time on Women's Rights.